Now, I know you. Some of you are looking at your clock going, okay, don't we have communion today? Yes. What's he going to do? Go short and go fast. And so there's so many different things. We have so much going on right now in our church. And I'm like, how do we go through it all? This isn't going forward. Maybe it's because it's off. Yeah, okay, so there it is. We talked last week about the send. And I just wanted to let you know, I wanted to invite you, if you are interested in going, we thought it would be a fun, this is an outreach event, multi-denominational, churches, organizations from all over the country, all different, across the spectrum of theological beliefs, all coming together for one purpose, in unity, to mobilize, to activate God's people for the Great Commission, to say we want to help people find life in Jesus. How do we do that? How do we do that in our homes, in our neighborhoods, on campuses, in our country, and internationally? How do we help people find life in Jesus? Let's do it together. That's what this event is about. Many of you have already signed up. You've told me. What I thought, though, is if you could send me an email or on your connection card, say, go into the send. That way we can coordinate and everybody, we can kind of like meet in one location so that we can all sit together, because it's at the stadium downtown. I never can remember the name of that. Camping World. Thank you. You'd think I'd know that, but you know, I've been camping before when I was six and twice. So anyway, that's the send, and we really would like to coordinate. But what this did is the send has all these missionaries, and the organization, I mean, they brought in people from all different churches and different groups to kind of head this up. And what they did is they said, let's put together like 300 or so missionaries in Orlando to help do some things to help people find Jesus. And so they have contacted us, and we have agreed that we're going to be a part of one of these. We're calling it Go and Grill. Ain't that cute? That's cute. Go and Grow, Go and Grill. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to provide food, and we're going to cook hot dogs and hamburgers, and we're going to serve them as a part of a larger event where other churches are involved and stuff. And so just wanted to ask, would you on your calendar put Friday, March 8th, on the calendar, and then, and I don't know why, I actually made a different slide, I must have forgot to put it on here, but on March 3rd, after the service, we're going to just have a really quick 30-minute training, and just get training, kind of like, here's what's going to be happening, and so I really wanted you to put that on your calculator. It's been that kind of week. All right, so we today are going to have communion. But before we do that, I wanted to intro a book that we're going to be going through together, because every February, I really like to dive in a little deeper into a book or a larger passage of Scripture. And Pastor Jim and I spent several weeks wrestling over some different passages, and I'd suggest something, and he'd respond, and he'd suggest something, and I'd respond. And then finally, we just kept coming back to this letter by Paul to the churches in Galatia. It was like, it kept drawing both of us. Churches over the years, and you've watched TV, you know this is true. Churches over the years have done some crazy things. They have gone some crazy directions. But there's a couple of scriptures, there's a couple of books of the Bible or passages of scripture that are kind of like a plumb line for the church. Kind of like they set the standard that no matter how far you can go adrift, you always have these things pulling you back to center. Galatians is one of those passages, one of those letters. It's one of those things that draws us back to remember what is most important. That when we start, our preferences or our traditions start getting too big, Galatians is one of those books that draws us back to what is most important. Now, we're going to do something cool throughout this entire series, because we have decided to make available some additional resources through the YouVersion app during this series. And so you're going to be able to follow along and interact with the text. How many of you have the YouVersion app on your smart device? All right, excellent. Feel free to pull it out right now. Turn it on. If you don't have it, just get it. It's free on Apple devices and on all of the other devices out there. And so what happens is you're going to have access to the scriptures we use, the maps. All right, maybe. I'm like, what? maps, the maps, the slides. You're going to have access to taking notes to certain parts, and the announcements from our church will be on there, our website. I mean, it's like really amazing. And so how do you use it? I wanted to just run real quick. How do you use it? All right, when you open up the YouVersion app, it's a Bible that has like 400 million different translations of the scriptures in every language you could ever imagine. And so you open it up, it takes you to where you were last, and at the bottom right it says more. All you have to do is click more, and it will take you to a screen that looks like this. And all you have to do is hit events, and when you do that, it takes you to a screen that looks like this, which is just a map of all of the events going on. Earlier today, when I took this picture, there were like 5 different events going on in churches. All you do is you pick the church that you want to look at, which if you're here, it would make sense that you pick Avalon Church Orlando. If you're zoomed out, don't pick Avalon Church in Georgia. They're not doing what we're doing, okay? Avalon Church Orlando. And you might wonder, so why are there 2 of them? Well, because the first one is this service going on right now. But for those of you who want to take what we do in here to the next step, the second one is life group questions or discussion questions to really engage with the scriptures that we talk about. And so you have both of those that'll always be open. And I'm really excited about this. I'm so glad that we can do this, because it not only will it help you, but it will also, the discussion questions are so good. And they're great by yourself. They're great devotion time. But even better is to make them a part of a group discussion. That's why we have life groups. If you're not in a life group, please let us know, because we want to help you find one. Fair enough? You're like, okay, Don, that was 7 minutes. What you got? I know. All right, so I'm going to just jump right in to Galatians. And just to kind of let you know a little bit about this book, Paul, you're familiar probably with him. He wrote about half the New Testament. And he began as a Pharisee. Unlike all of the other apostles, he also was a Roman citizen by birth, which was a huge deal. And this was one of the biggest reasons why I think that God chose Paul, because he had something that was going to be very impactful throughout Rome, and that was a Roman citizenship. But before he became a Christian, Paul was leading the persecution against the Christians. I mean, we're talking real early. He was leading, I mean, it was like 2 years after the cross and the resurrection. Paul's going around even killing some Christians when he has this encounter with the resurrected Christ that changes everything. Everything was changed in that moment when he saw that resurrected Jesus. And he was the one selected to go and take Christianity or this message of Christ outside of the Jewish world, into the Gentile world, into the Roman world. And so, because I like maps, I always put them. You know, the book of Galatia was from the first missionary journey, which you can read about in Acts 13 and 14, where he talks about all the different churches in Galatia that he went to. And so this was a time he teams up with a guy named Barnabas, another Jewish man, and together they go to these strategic locations, starting churches. And what did they do? They witnessed what they had seen. They weren't telling a story that somebody else had seen, but they were going to these places saying, "You won't believe it. We saw," and Barnabas could say, "I saw Jesus die on that cross. And I don't know how it would have been possible, but 3 days later, I saw the risen Jesus, and he walked with us, and he ate with us, and for 40 days, he was with us." And Paul is like, "And you won't believe it, 2 years later, the resurrected Jesus showed himself to me, and my life was changed." And so they were witnessing about this historical event that they had actually participated in. And so they go to all of these places sharing the story. They'd stay weeks, months, sometimes even years in these places, mentoring people, training leaders, helping this church grow. And when I say church, please know I don't mean church. I mean this small group of people here. And then there would be a small group of people over here. And they would just disciple them and mentor them and help them grow in the faith. And then they'd leave and they'd go do it somewhere else. And then Paul would write letters back to those churches telling them, "Hey, this is what I'm hearing. Here's some new things that maybe you could work on." Sometimes he would reprimand them, which we're going to see a little bit in this letter. So Galatians is likely the first letter Paul ever wrote. The Galatians is the oldest New Testament document that we have. This was written decades before the Gospels. This was written so early that when we read Galatians, we really get a glimpse of the earliest teachings of Christianity, which I love. And so Paul, when he talks, look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, the sent one. Sent not from men nor by a man. People didn't send me. Jesus, I encountered him and he sent me. I was sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers and sisters with me were writing to the churches in Galatia. From the very beginning of Christianity, it was about one thing: telling the world that Jesus Christ was no longer dead. He had risen from the grave. I mean, from the very beginning, this was everything. Everything. We can fight about a million things. We can fight about the Old Testament scriptures. We can fight about our traditions. We can fight about the Jewish faith, all of the things that they did fight about. But one thing is sure: Jesus is risen from the dead, and that's why we do everything. He gives us the power. And then, if you look at, as Paul continues, he gives the basics of the gospel. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father. I mean, it's been his plan all along. It's to him be power and glory forever. The core message of the church was that Jesus, he died and rose again, and he is now building a new family from the whole world. He is building in us together, not a family of Jews and not a family of Gentiles, but one family in Christ. What I love, and you're going to see, I mean, there's so much that Paul does in this letter, and we're going to get to it over the next weeks, but what I love is he talks about Abraham a lot, saying from the very beginning, from Genesis 12 till now, this has been part of God's plan, that if you are in this room right now, back in the very beginnings, God was pursuing you. You were on his mind at the creation of the universe, knowing that there was going to be this long journey of faith that was going to climax in Jesus and his death and resurrection. And God was going to draw the whole world to him. From the very beginning, that was the plan. That's what you and I get to be a part of. But for the Galatians, and just like us, what happens so easily is that we lose focus. We start focusing on things that divide us rather than unite us. We start fighting about traditions and preferences and scriptural beliefs and all of this. And Paul continues, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. And you're turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. You know, it happens all the time. Churches are started, pastors are hired. Everybody has great dreams about what God is going to do with our church. What is God going to do in this place? But then unintentionally, we lose focus so quickly. We revert to past teachings. We revert to what's comfortable. Some people are leaders naturally, and so we say, oh, they must be right because they're so confident. And we begin to lose focus, and we begin to miss the point on why we exist. And that's what happened in Jerusalem. I know this is kind of more of a history lesson, and I don't mean to be, but it is an intro. So I wanted to kind of give you a real breakdown, real quick, of why the Jerusalem church, it was so easy for them to focus on the past, and then how they affected the Galatians. So forgive me, but I'm going to do it anyway. In AD 30, that's about when Jesus died and rose again. Historical, I could be off by a year, no big deal. So many people saw Jesus alive that the movement grew in Jerusalem like wildfire. They stayed there for like 2 years and nothing was happening. I mean, Jesus said the faith was going to go to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, but it didn't. It stayed in Jerusalem for about a year or two. And persecution then broke out and people started fleeing and people started taking their message of their faith outside. But the hub of Christianity, The hub of the church always remained in Jerusalem at that time. But like always happens, and it's so frustrating, two denominations basically developed in Jerusalem. So you can see between 32 and 34, when Paul follows Jesus, and 48, when he's in Galatia, and then he writes the letters. In that 14 to 16 years, two denominations rise up in Jerusalem. And they're very important to this letter, and I think it's very important to us, because we'll see what happens. One of the denominations was slow to start. It was the smallest group of people at first. They were the ones who were convinced that Jesus came for all people, Gentiles and Jews. And they were less concerned with the Jewish law. This was the group Paul was a part of. And again, it started small. But then there was the group that believed that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. This is a Jewish faith. They believed that if you wanted to follow the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, you had to become Jewish. And for the men, that meant circumcision. Hello, salvation by surgery. I don't think so. And the second thing is everybody had to eat kosher. Now, Paul would call the extremists in this group later on, he'd call them Judaizers. But this was a very, very influential group. And it makes sense, because if you think about it, when Jesus died and rose again, who saw him? Everybody. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saw the resurrected Jesus. That's how the movement grew so fast. In those hundreds and hundreds of people, some of them were Pharisees. Some of them were rabbis. And many of those Pharisees and rabbis and teachers of the law, they became believers too. But Judaism, the Jewish faith, is all they ever knew. Separation from Gentiles, that went all the way back to Moses. It's who they were. Even Peter struggled, which we're going to see in this book. It was a struggle for all. But as Christianity began to spread farther and farther away from Jerusalem, more and more Gentiles got involved, and the Jewish faith had less and less influence. All of a sudden, Gentiles were following Jesus, and their lives were transforming. They were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything was changing. And the Jewish people in the areas were seeing this and praising God and saying, "They're one of us. God has come for all people." But back in Jerusalem, most of the Christians were Jewish, and they weren't seeing the Gentiles coming to faith and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They just thought it was hearsay. So what they started doing was they started raising up missionaries from Jerusalem. And as Paul would go start churches, they would send their missionaries to go to the churches Paul would start to correct his teaching. And this made Paul mad, infuriated. So infuriated that he wrote a letter to the Galatians. And that's the letter that we're reading. And you can feel the anger and the disappointment. Look at verse 7. "Evidently some people... are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." I mean, these aren't secondary issues. This is the gospel. This is the foundation of what we believe and who we are, that we are united as a family together because of this, and they are perverting it. And then he says in verse 8, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse." We don't, NIV, man, it's nice. It's a nice way of saying this, because in the Greek, that word is anathema. Anathema. May they be eternally damned. Paul is so upset. He's like, they are hindering what Christ is doing. They are keeping people from finding life in Jesus. He's so upset that he says, you know, these people, they can just go to... That's what he says. He's mad. Anathema. See, at Avalon Church, we affirm that we're going to be unified in the essentials and value diversity in the non-essentials. And many of you have asked me, so what are the essentials? Here are the essentials. Jesus plus anything is nothing. It's a false gospel. Anytime you add something to Jesus for us to be saved, to be right with God, anytime you add something to Jesus that says you are welcome in this place, you are a part of this community if you follow Jesus and whatever, false gospel. But over here, if Jesus plus nothing, all by himself, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that he is who he said he is, the Son of God, the incarnate God become man who died and rose again. If it's Jesus plus nothing, that is everything. That's the essentials. And as we unpack Galatians, and as we look at this, and we hear how Paul said, oh, he's not done. Anathema's good, but it gets so much better. When we start looking at what he says about this, all of a sudden, we start saying, oh my goodness, we need to become this. Because I don't want Paul to say that. And we want to become more and more about Jesus and putting our allegiance in him. I almost thought about calling this whole message, this whole series, This Beautiful Mess. Because when we are so focused on Jesus plus nothing, it gets really messy. And that means some of you who have crazy beliefs feel welcome in this place. Because other people who have different crazy beliefs are looking at you going, they're crazy. And you're saying, I know, they're crazy. It's a beautiful mess when we start going, you know, some people, we said it last week, some people love it, learning about craft beer and drinking craft beer. And other people are like, that is so wrong. And I say, welcome to Avalon Church. Some people are like, baptism has to be this way. No, it has to be this way. Or communion has to be this way. No, it has to be this way. I'm a Republican. Great. I'm a Democrat. Welcome to Avalon Church. I love it. This beautiful mess, because we don't find salvation and we aren't made right with God and we aren't a community revolved around politics or any kind of theologies, are we? We are a community of people, all kinds of people, every race, every background, religious background, who say Jesus plus nothing is everything. It is so hard to be this way, church. We constantly want to be pulled by the differences. We constantly want to be pulled by the theologies or the methods or the preferences. And it is going to take intense, laser-focused effort to say no to that. And I'm skipping everything. So, we're going to go into communion. There's nothing more unifying than communion. There's nothing that brings us together as a body that says none of the other stuff matters. Jesus plus nothing is everything. Nothing does that more than communion. And so I want to invite the ushers to come forward. I want to invite the worship team to come on up here. And while they do, I want to invite you. You know, there is a... Jesus invites all of us to know him. Jesus invites all of us to come to him just as we are. For those of us who are followers of Christ, most of us have gone where we've, you know, preferences have become too big or certain beliefs have become too much a part of our life that they have separated us from other believers. May that never be. I want to invite you to reaffirm your faith in Jesus plus nothing. Because that is everything today. But there's some of you, you've never followed Jesus before. You've never come to know him. You've never experienced what we were talking about or experiencing in worship today. Being right with God, not because of anything you could do, but because of what Jesus did for you. I want to invite you too to come and make it right with God. I wrote a prayer out that I thought would be so good for all of us. It's a prayer that says, Jesus, I need you. I can't do it. I need the forgiveness offered by the blood you shed. I choose to follow you to the best of my ability. Help me do so wherever that leads. These words aren't magic, but these words kind of give something to a way of expressing the heart. Before we take communion, could I ask you, everybody in this room, if you're willing, if you want, if you can affirm this prayer, could we say this together out loud? Maybe for some of you, it'll be the first time. Maybe for some of you, it is just one more time we need to come to recognize Jesus. But let's say this together. I'm going to say it. I would love for you to join me. Jesus, I need you. I need the forgiveness offered by the blood you shed. I choose to follow you to the best of my ability. Help me do so wherever that leads. If that's your prayer, whether you're a follower of Christ before or that's the first time, welcome to the family. We are united. And it's awesome. We are united in Jesus. And so as we take communion right now, we invite everybody, any follower of Jesus, you are welcome to this table. We're going to pass out the elements in just a minute. We're going to pass out the bread and the juice. I want to ask that you hold them because we're going to take them, we're going to partake, we're going to eat those together at the end. But this is one family and you are welcome in this place as we take communion together. Would you bow and let's pray together and we'll begin receiving communion. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for dying for us. As we receive communion, as we partake of the bread and the juice, may it be to your glory and your honor in unity together. In your name we pray. Amen.